Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod, where we talk to all the interesting people of the San Luis Valley. We're in Monte Vista today at the Church Project Community Arts Center and its new recording studio. With us is Monte Vista City Manager Gigi Dennis. Gigi, this is the episode 200 of the Valley Pod. We're glad to have you as our guest.
Thank you, Chris, and what an honor to be number 200.
Yeah, I can't believe that we've done 200 of these recordings. It's kind of mind-blowing, honestly. I'm kind of having a hard time getting my head around that.
Oh, I think it's fantastic what you have done and the news that you're bringing to the Valley. Just big congratulations to you and Mary Ann and your whole team.
Yeah, no, we thank you. Thank you. We really appreciate your support. You know, I want to talk about Monte Vista. I want to start, though, first here because we're at the Church Project. This is a labor of love with Madeline Allborn. We know her as the creative citizen and her work with Alamosa Citizen. She also works full-time for SLV Go. And then on the side, she's been putting just her heart into remaking what is the old First Baptist Church on South Broadway Street here. What have you seen just in this project and how it's done in engaging community members?
I think Madeline's done a terrific job. She is so creative, yeah. And she has just, her mind just works differently than mine. It's fun to see that artsy part of things come alive. And her vision for this facility is going to be multifunctional for the community when you're bringing in artists, whether they're teaching someone how to paint or if, you know, I came to their play that they had.
That's right.
And that was fun. That was interesting. She's just a breath of fresh air for our community.
I would think that it's adds to the quality of life in a town like Monte Vista, in any town, small town, where you have a space where people can come, be creative, be entertained, engage with each other, and that's kind of what Maddie is creating here at this community arts center.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really, and I like her plays. I mean, yeah. she's to what you're saying, she's got a lot of creativity, a lot of spirit. So congratulations to Maddie. We call her Maddie and her work with the Church Project here in Monte Vista. One of the foundations that's been instrumental in supporting her work, supporting the Church Project, and supporting quite a bit around Monte Vista is the Lore Foundation. Give us that backstory of how that all came to be.
Honestly, I don't know. I think we were a diamond in the rough.
Yeah.
And the Lore Foundation had originally started as buying land, conservation type things. And then they started honing in saying, what can we do to change a community? And so they put a full-time representative here in Monte Vista, Yvette Atencio. Yep, she's delightful and so helpful. And so for 5 years, she's looking for projects that help enhance our community. So she's helped with projects at the school. She's helped with the medical clinic that is for children here in Monte Vista. She's helped the city a lot with our recreation programs. She's helped me with our Christmas lights.
Wow.
Yeah, she's just, her fingerprints are on so many things that, number one, we'll miss her when we're gone, but she's also able to help enhance projects that we may not have had the resources to take care of.
And so that commitment from the Lore Foundation is a 5-year commitment to a community to do as much good within that community as it can. Is that how Lore works?
Yes.
So they've been here 2 years, so you have a couple more years of that funding happening locally. Anything that you're aware of or things that we should anticipate in Monte Vista as we move ahead to 2025 and beyond?
Well, so if you drive by the Monte Vista Chamber of Commerce, mm-hmm. She put a lot of money into the re-landscaping there. So it's just enhanced and it's prettier and it's going to be easier maintenance to clean up. I think that the Lore Foundation will be a bigger part in our baseball field project, where we're going to move the two baseball fields from behind the arena at Sky High Park out to the middle school. So we're working closely with the school district on that. She already funded the master plan of what it would look like.
Gotcha.
So we've got a project in place.
What is that?
And so that will be two baseball fields out at the middle school.
Uh-huh.
They already have one field. And so it'll have a nice concession stand, restrooms. It'll have a mile walking trail that we'll weave around, parking, lighting, picnic tables. And so we're real excited to be working with the school on that project. And then the school can use it for their activities during the school year. The city of Monte Vista can use it in the summer months for our recreation program and bring in more baseball tournaments and that sort of thing.
Nice, nice, nice. Monte Vista used to be a pretty good baseball town. I don't know how it is anymore, but in my youth, it was a pretty good baseball town.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to move, because this begs the question then, if you're moving the old ball fields, the current ball fields that are behind the Sky High Stampede, and you move those and create the new ball fields and the track and all that at the middle school that you talked about, what happens to that area behind the Sky High Stampede? She's given me the look, the twinkle in her eye, as she, Gigi Dennis, can do. I don't know if she wants to fill us in the rest of the way.
Well, I'm working with local investors, and we plan on building a hotel there on the corner of Sherman Avenue and Sky High Trail.
Stop it.
Yes.
Nice.
And we're really excited about it. They're all locals, Monte Vista or Rio Grande in Alamosa County, and they are excited, and we are about ready to get that wrapped up where the city will sell them 2.5 acres so that the hotel can be there so that we can better utilize the Sky High Complex.
Right.
And so we can have overnight visits and people can stay right there on the campus, walk into the conference center, do their building, do their wedding receptions, do whatever they're here for.
Do you have a hotel you're picked out or you're working through that? Yes, you
no,
do.
Yes. We're working with a franchise called Cobblestone.
Uh-huh.
And Cobblestone goes into smaller markets. And so we've done a hotel study, market study, the feasibility, financials, and the proposal will be a 4-story, 62-room hotel.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I have to, you know, you just, the Sky High Stampede in September just hosted Rural Philanthropy Days, and you had all these foundations, heads of foundations, board members from major foundations based in the metro area, Betcher Foundation, Colorado Trust. I mean, there were a lot of heavy hitters here, right? And one of the conversations was hotels, motels. Where do you stay when you come to Monte Vista, when Monte Vista hosts a major conference like that? You're putting the piece in the puzzle that says you can stay right here near the event center, walk to the event center, have everything that you need there. That sounds like a win.
It will be a win. I'm just so excited about this because, you know, right now, and we have nice hotels in Monte Vista.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, and the Movie Manor fits a fun little quirky niche with the drive-in theaters and such. But this will be a first-class hotel. It'll have a swimming pool. It'll have, of course, the breakfast/bar area. The bar area will be open in the evenings. It'll have a fire pit. It'll have a nice patio. It'll have some suites. And so this is something, the injection, I think, that Monte Vista needs to help complement the Alcott Sky High Center.
Yeah, that's a really nice update. We appreciate that. Another, I want to ask you about another project because, you know, as we go through this list, we talked about the church project. We're talking about a new hotel there in Monte Vista. We're talking about fields at the middle school. We know the Sky High Event Center, since Monte Vista was the beneficiary of that project, which is, I still say, one of the best things that ever happened to you when you get a new building, new event center, free and clear, no debt to the taxpayer, to the municipality. And you've really been working that part and bringing a lot of events in. So we're seeing that kick off really well. So my point is you have momentum. Monte Vista seems to have, since you've been city manager, which is what, 3 years now?
It'll be 3 years at the end of November.
We're seeing as people anticipated when they brought you into Monta Vista, when they asked you, you were the in Alamosa County, running county government there for the Board of County Commissioners. The pressure was on. Gigi has to come back to Monta Vista, where she's from, where she grew up, where she graduated high school. She has to come and be our city manager and help us help her hometown. 3 years in, we ticked off these areas of progression, progress for you. How do you feel 3 years in?
I feel fantastic. I feel
you look fantastic.
Thank you. The momentum of Monta Vista is exciting for the future.
That's good.
And we've got a lot of projects going. We have been successful with several grants that, you know, this is new money coming into to the community that wasn't there before. And so we're addressing some problems. We're, I don't like the word challenge. They're all opportunities. Mm. And so we're maximizing on those opportunities. And so when I retire, I want to leave my town better than when I came back.
I've heard you a couple of different times bring that word up, retire, and I honestly can't see it because you have so much going on and you have so much energy. So I don't want to go there yet, retirement, because I think you still have a few years to go before you get that far. Another project, though, you've been working on is your downtown theater. And you've had some fits and starts with that particular one since you've been involved over the past 3 years trying to get some traction with the old theater, with the historic theater that is downtown. You sold it, or you didn't sell it, you leased it to a radio station for a year or so. They're not there anymore. You still have a Bobalicious coffee in there, though, I believe, because we've had them.
Correct.
So that's good. Where are you with that project then, the downtown theater in Monta Vista?
Well, like I said, it's an opportunity.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, Bob Richards leased it for a year, and I think he did a great job in the promotion and the advertising and trying to bring people back. And Monta Vista, the theater, when it was given to the city, it was ran by volunteers.
Uh-huh.
And then that big yucky C word happened, COVID.
Yeah.
And so theater had to shut down. Once it reopened, the volunteers didn't really want to come back. But the biggest problem was the audience didn't come back.
Mm.
And so we're missing kind of that 14-year-old to 45-year-old that said, we downstream our movies now. We're not interested in going in and sitting in a chair just to have that experience. And so we need to rethink how that facility is going to be used. I don't want it as a city asset. I want someone else to take it over.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, we have, and with all of the wonderful rain that we got this year, we found some issues with some flooding and such. And so we are taking care of that. And then in the meantime, we also received an EPA Brownsfields grant. And so I want to go in there and with the grant money, do the asbestos report, get the asbestos removed. And so someone somewhat has a clean slate that can take the building and turn it into something special for the community.
Are there any, or what are the ideas either you have or others have for what that something special could be?
Well, and I don't want to elaborate. There's one gentleman in town, because I don't want to give an unfair advantage.
Right. Plus, you don't know if things are going to happen either. Right now, you're just at an ideation stage where you're trying to generate ideas and, hey, what can we use this building for, community? What should we, what do we want? Any business people interested?
Right.
Yeah.
And so, and it was a, it's two buildings. You know, originally it was the theater, and then they bought the next little store to the north of it. And so that's where Theater 2 and 3 is actually located.
Interesting.
And so they, you know, so we know that the floors in Theater 2 and 3 are flat underneath the, you know, the slant of where the chairs are set up so that you could see the theater. So, you know, it's a little bit of a new drawing board.
Interesting.
And so for somebody kind of like Maddie and the Church Project,
yeah,
that can go in there and really visualize and see something. I did have a couple recently from Alamosa. They came up, and he has experience in theater and productions and stuff. And so they, you know, people are, there's some interest.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to take a little bit of some percolation mm-hmm. before it.
And you're gonna do some of that remediation work through your EPA grant so that the building's in better shape as an incentive for someone then to come in, present an idea to you, a business plan, whatever, and then hopefully that turns it into something new.
Correct.
It's a good opportunity Correct. For someone. Hey, we're in Monta Vista. We're with Gigi Dennis. It's the Valley Pod. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Are you craving adventure? Step back in time with the entire family aboard the Cumbres and Toltec Scenic Railroad. Discover breathtaking mountain views and savor the historic charm on the longest and highest steam railroad in America. Feel the thrill of history come alive as you ride along the same tracks laid in 1880. All aboard for the 2024 season. Trains depart Tuesday through Sunday from Antonito, Colorado and Chama, New Mexico. Antonito train station is located just 30 miles south of Alamosa. Book today at CumbresToltec.com or call 888-286-2737.
Hey, we're back. This is the Valley Pod. We're in Monta Vista at the Church Project. They have a nice little recording studio that Madeline Allborn's put in here. You like it, Gigi? She calls it the closet.
I like it. You know, it's cozy and we fit in here just perfect.
Yeah. And we also on our way in, because anytime, at least for me anyway, it's just me, whenever I come to Monta Vista, I stop at the Sunflower Cafe because they have a great bakery, great pies, great breakfast, great lunch. I call it the best cafe in the San Luis Valley, Sunflower Cafe. I love it. I'm not going to lie there. I think it's...
It's my favorite, too.
And it's, again, because I, you know, for me, I don't know, and I think you do the same thing. I travel around the valley to all the little towns, to all the towns, either to hang out, to see things, to try restaurants, to go... I like to, because to me, that's the only way to live in the San Luis Valley. If you're just hanging out in your town or one town, you're not experiencing or seeing all there is to see in the San Luis Valley, and you're not getting to all the little restaurants that do exist out there.
I agree. And the Sunflower, I love her sandwiches. And like, you've got cinnamon rolls sitting here, and they are just delicious.
Yeah.
She's really fit a nice niche in the community.
Well, and you were talking about having a friend in recently who wanted to go to the Worth a Drive Bakery, which is a little bit of a drive from where you live here in Monta Vista.
It is, but they as well, you know.
Draw
them in. And the Amish have a great little grocery store down there, and you can buy, you know, homemade cheeses and jellies and jams and pies.
You got to get around the San Luis Valley, I think, to try all these cafes, restaurants, bakeries, microbrews, whatever it is. What is, if you're going out, you and your husband, Mark, and you're not going to Monta Vista, you're leaving, where would be a place the two of you would go?
Well, it depends upon if we want bar food or if we want sit-down food, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. So we enjoy the Windsor and Del Norte. That's nice if you want a nicer dinner and cloth napkins, such. And then if we want kind of more bar food, I really still like the Ruby Slipper.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can't go. And, you know, I've been to the Pivot House here recently in Monta Vista, another new location that has come around since you've been city manager. The Pivot House is a nice hangout.
The Pivot House is beautiful. I think it's the classiest bar in the San Luis Valley.
Oh, classiest bar in the San Luis Valley. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You look at the colors and the tile and the atmosphere.
No, it's cool. I do like going in there. Hey, you have another advancement, if you will, for the town of Monta Vista coming up here Thursday, September 26th. You're going to cut ribbon on a new EV charging stations. Where are those? Tell us about that.
So the EV charging stations, I just feel very fortunate that they will be owned and operated by Xcel Energy.
Mm.
And Xcel had to, it's their commitment to Colorado to make sure that there are charging stations on state highways. And so we've got four fast chargers, and they're right across from the Chamber of Commerce in Monta Vista in the what we used to call the Facet parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll be set up, and they have been operational since the end of June. And so I think, as I understand it, anyone that has charged up there, it's been free because they were testing the system and wanting to make sure that everything was operating well. And so they're ready to cut the ribbon and put these charging stations then on the map when people are doing using the websites right. to say, hey, where can we stop? And
when they're coming through.
Yeah.
Have you when you're at City Hall, do you get calls? Have you gotten calls to say, do you have charging stations when I'm coming through Monta Vista? Is that a thing that the public does? Or they just hit their app and look for them?
I think they hit their app and look for them because I have two ladies. It was funny. The two different ladies the same weekend said, hey, these EV chargers aren't on the website. You know, how do we find them? And and I said, they will be. They'll be soon noticed. And with the location of them right downtown, they can easily walk to several of the restaurants, grab a cup of coffee or...
EV stations are definitely proliferating, becoming very visible and necessary. I don't drive an EV vehicle, but I know several people who do. But you can find EV stations pretty much everywhere these days. It's good to have them here in Monta Vista. Where are you on the whole EV car trend movement? You think you'll be there someday? You think you're gonna? What do you think there?
Well, I'm glad I'm old because to me, it's mind-boggling. You know, you go to the gas station, you fill up in 2 or 3 minutes, and you've got a full tank, and you're back on the road.
Right.
And here, you've got to be able to kind of plan it and know what you're going to do and allocate that time in your life to stop and charge and that sort of thing. So I'll probably be very slow to adjust.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I did get an EV bike. I did get an electric bicycle, though, and I will tell you that is a lot of fun, a lot of fun. I love riding it. I'm riding it all over Alamosa. I'm not in my car too much. Of course, winter will be coming. I'll get back. But the bicycle I bought, I love getting that. I love getting around on that.
Yep.
You see more people doing that, too. You see electric bicycles or little electric scooters becoming more of a thing, at least in Alamosa. I see them all over the place.
Right. And I think Alamosa has, well, obviously with the university and the college there, you've got a younger generation that really has grabbed hold of that. Monta Vista's not quite there yet.
I do see younger. I know Maddie's one of them, and I'm familiar with others who have young people who have moved into Monta Vista. They tell me because they found cheaper housing, either cheaper rent or cheaper house to purchase.
I say less expensive.
Less expensive. They don't mind commuting wherever they work from, but they are finding Monta Vista more affordable to get into a house around. I know two or three people that have done that in the last year. So I think your demographics might get a little bit younger, although that has been a challenge for Monta Vista, the demographics, right?
It has been. But we are seeing that as well. We're working with a developer who wants to build an apartment complex, and we haven't had a new apartment complex in probably 25 years. So we're looking forward to that. One of the organizations, CRHDC, they have self-help housing, and so they are working again and building in Monta Vista. And then they also built just regular stick-built homes for those that can't, don't have the time to put the sweat equity into it. And so we are getting some new housing and some younger families and people having babies. And
that's an important thing for a community. You have to have that generational turn where you have to have that to keep your town alive.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I'm curious about, and when we talk about housing, when we talk about neighborhoods here in Monta Vista, you had a fire 2 years ago, I think it was, close to your downtown. And the reason I bring that up, because when you walk that neighborhood going east out of Monte Vista from downtown, there's a new project that you're working on in that area around the Lariat Ditch, right?
Yes.
It goes from the high school golf course, takes you east behind downtown through Monte Vista, and then takes you west from, or takes you east from east. Lariat Ditch.
Right.
And that neighborhood where you had a fire a couple of years back, right, is part of that area.
That's correct.
And you're working through a new redevelopment project in that whole area, the length of the Lariat Ditch. Mm-hmm. Explain that to us.
Okay, so this is an EPA grant, and the University of Colorado contacted us. And again, I don't know. People must be talking about Monte Vista.
Because that's a good thing.
It's a wonderful thing. And so they came in and said, we want to help you apply for this EPA grant, which is, it was a community challenge grant, and it focused on what can you do for the environment and how do you help have another asset for your community sort of thing, draws in people. And so what this did is they applied for a $12.4 million grant to cover up the Lariat Ditch. It'll all be encased in piping that will help with the water conservation efforts and less evaporation. And the whole path is about 2 miles. And so it'll start, like you said, up by the golf course, and it'll end at Highway 160, 285, there by Polish Bean.
Yep.
And so it will give this beautiful walking path or bicycle path for young and old. It'll have solar lighting. It'll have, you know, doggy pickup stations. It'll have trash cans and benches. And so I'm just so excited about it. It'll be beautiful and cut down on the weeds that are growing up, and it will help the ditch company not having to remove so much debris, because a lot of people will dump their lawn clippings in the ditch and such, and so that will go away.
And also helps with some seepage issues in that ditch too, right?
Absolutely.
When do you hear back? I know you just submitted the big grant. Hopefully the money comes through to do that project. What's that expectation, or when do you anticipate hearing?
Well, so we heard the first go around, they said that we had addressed all of the qualifications in the grant.
Gotcha.
Then we received an email a couple weeks ago that said that they had 2,500 applicants.
Hey.
And that
competitive,
very competitive. And that because of the amount of interest, they weren't going to call and do personal interviews. They're just going to review them by paper.
Gotcha.
So the way the University of Colorado has scored us, I think the top number of points is 145. They feel like we should score at least 135. So where that falls amongst 2,500 applicants,
right.
don't know.
Right.
But I hope we hear by Thanksgiving.
Well, we're going to keep our fingers crossed. Hopefully that project, because that is a really cool project. I mean, the whole concept of it and the problems it takes care of. And then to your point, the opportunity it creates on the recreation side to be able to walk that ditch or recreate along that path that you would create. So we're going to keep our fingers crossed for that. Hopefully it comes through. That'd be cool.
Yeah, thank you. And last week we just heard we received another CDOT grant that, give another plug for LORE. The LORE Foundation said we will come up with the city's match for it. And so it'll be a sidewalk basically from our Dairy Queen up to Prospect going north.
Uh-huh.
And so then that will tie in with the ditch project.
Nice.
In order just to create safer streets, you know, the high school kids use that route at lunchtime, going to school, going home, that sort of thing. So it all will tie together. And then if SLV Go gets their funding for their Heart of the Valley trail, you know, all of this will tie in together.
When you first came back to Monte Vista, when you took over as the city manager, that outdoor recreation strategy, that outdoor recreation as an economy strategy, you've brought several people in to look at Monte Vista that way, to consult with you that way. that has been a focus of yours since you took over the job here. Why has that been? And it does seem to be paying off. It does seem that you are making progress around these outdoor adventures, outdoor recreation as an economy that you started off trying to create.
Correct. And that was, I want to give shout out to SLV Go and Mick Daniels and his team. They applied for that. And it's literally, I hadn't even started my first day here. And Mick said, Gigi, we need a letter of support. We're doing this for you from Monta Vista. So,
it's like, he was waiting for you to show up.
Yeah. It's like, this will be perfect for you. And it really has. And it brought all of these federal agencies and state agencies in. And they could see what was accomplished, I think, because of Sky High Park. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the catalyst. You know, they saw a community that had raised $8.9 million during COVID, built this beautiful building, and now they need to help enhance and bring more people to it. Mm-hmm. And they need more, you know, their downtown, that EPA grant really focused on bringing your retail back into downtown. And Monty has a beautiful downtown area.
You do.
And so many pretty, you know, the
you have nice architecture.
Yes.
You have nice brick buildings.
Yes.
You do have a nice cozy little downtown there as you come through. The town, though, that, and I've been noticing this, and I don't know if you've been there recently, but your neighbor's center, the town of Center, is definitely also advancing their little downtown. They have another theater, speak of a movie theater, that they're almost getting ready to also open up in addition to the Frontier. The Center's, and you, I know you're aware of that because you've been tracking Center a little bit, but they're really working there.
They really are, and they've got a new city manager, and Cole, I think, will do a great job. And again, it's kind of finding that, it's kind of like a freckle on an elephant, you know, and people then are taking notice, and they're wanting to help. The Lohr Foundation is getting ready to hook us up with the University of Denver.
Nice.
And, yeah, we've got these universities now that are stepping up and saying, how do we help these communities thrive? You know, where does the city want to put renewable resources?
Right.
They look at little rural areas because they don't have the room in the cities.
Right.
And so we need to be able to create that workforce and have meaningful jobs and reasons for people to want to live in smaller communities.
Yeah.
I know now I certainly don't blink twice about living in Littleton ever again. You know, right.
I'm with you on that. I escaped the cities 10 years ago myself, and I'm not going back. I really enjoy the small towns again.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. This is the Valley Pod. We'll be right back with Gigi Dennis.
You can support the work of AlamosaCitizen.com by becoming a member or by donating today. We have no out-of-town shareholders or billionaire owners. We are 100% San Luis Valley. Go to alamosacitizen.com and hit Become a Member, or give anything that you can. We appreciate it.
Hey, we're back. This is the Valley Pod. It's episode 200. Owen Woods has been our producer for, I don't know, in 100 maybe of these. We started this in January of 2022.
Right.
And Angel Rodriguez worked with us. He got us going. Owen has been with us, Alamosa Citizen, for 3 years since we were like you. We're kind of tracking your time here as city manager when we got Alamosa Citizen going. So we're both kind of 3 years old, if you will, in these new projects of ours, but we've done 200 episodes, Gigi's guest 200. Owen, what stands out for you in these, just doing this podcast?
You know, a couple things right off the cuff. I think I never thought I'd be doing this.
Yeah.
And I've found
me
it
either.
Endlessly entertaining and fascinating. It's kind of like mad science, audio engineering and mixing. So I found that to be really, to really stand out. But the cast of people we've had just in the past 100 episodes is mind-boggling. I was just looking back the other day just to kind of wrap up for season 200, and it's like, holy crap, we have a lot of people on this show. It's awesome.
That's true. That's what we told Gigi. We just kind of go along each day, try to figure out something else we want to do. And really, what more than anything, we try to do things that no one else is doing. We try to create community media in a way that no one else in the Valley or anywhere else really in the country, when you look at rural markets, small towns, little places, we try to do it differently than it's ever been done before in a really small community area.
Well, and you make it fun, too. You know, I'm still always amazed at how many people will say, well, I didn't know about this. Well, do you listen to the podcast? Do you take the local newspaper? Do you read Alamosa Citizen online? And they're like, no.
Yeah.
Well, then they're the ones that are at a loss.
Yeah. Yeah. In the Valley Calendar, we try to really keep up on all the events on the Valley Calendar. That's become quite the thing. And we do see, we reach, Gigi, about 500,000 people a month through all the different things we do, whether it's the podcasts, whether it's alamosacitizen.com, people coming in to look at our calendars or our articles, what have you. We reach about 500,000 people now on a monthly basis that hear something about the San Luis Valley through Alamosa Citizen. It's pretty incredible.
That is incredible.
Yeah, we're pretty proud of that work. Hey, we want to ask you one of the things we've been writing a little bit more about recently, and I want to ask you a little bit about it, and we appreciate all your time this morning, and that's water and the agricultural fields around Rio Grande County. It is the most or some of the most productive agricultural areas in the state of Colorado. The potatoes, I mean, you can go on and on, the barley, big clients, Coors, Walmart. I mean, you have them all. The farmers in Rio Grande County, parts of Alamosa, Sawatch, that are in Subdistrict 1, though, are really challenged by the aquifers. When I was driving around recently, and we're looking at potato harvest, what sticks out to me these days is the amount of dry ag fields that you see in Rio Grande County. What's your perspective as you've been seeing that? And I know you have to deal with that from city hall, city managers. You think of the future. How concerning or where are you? What are your thoughts about ag water in Rio Grande County specifically?
It's frightening.
Yeah.
It's really frightening.
And I know your husband's in it too with the potatoes, Mark.
Right. Yeah, right. And, you know, you see the farming and ranching community and how hard they work. And with all of the rain that we've had this year, it's just been phenomenal. And yet it's been a bad year for our farmers.
Yeah.
And that's heartbreaking. You know, you see all the black alfalfa that's just been drenched upon, and mm-hmm. now suddenly there's not a market for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the San Luis Valley grows some of the best alfalfa, dairy alfalfa, anywhere.
Yep.
And I don't know, Chris, what we're going to do. Again, I guess I'm glad I'm old.
Mm-hmm.
Because in 20 years, I'll be dead.
Mm.
And
it is frightening.
Yes. And we don't want everything to just be fallow either.
Right.
You know, we know what the wind is like in the springtime and the dust that blows. We still need to be able to thrive like any other part of the state does.
And that's the part when you talk to water managers, you talk to the state water managers, you talk to farmers, you talk to farmers that have been around forever. No one has a solution, really, or can tell you what's going to happen when it comes to the aquifers, when it comes to water from the aquifers, when it comes to watering the irrigated fields. It's to what you said, it is frightening and scary to try to see ahead in that environment, because it's drying and drying and drying, that aquifer's not recharged.
Right.
How do you work that conversation when you're having it? Because, I mean, Dale Becker, your mayor, I mean, you have people that are deep in the agricultural economy that you're around all the time. What's your sense there?
Well, our sense is that we've got to become smarter. We need to continue to work with like the CSU Ag farm and testing farm and see Are there other varieties that can be grown and developed that take less water? Is there an opportunity for us to be able to kind of re-engineer our thinking on whether what kind of industries that we're bringing in and not be as agricultural related? But again, we still need something growing to keep us from blowing away.
And we need people. We need something growing for we could eat at the grocery store when things come out. I mean, we could have food. But I want to plug an event here because it is happening at the Sky High Event Center, November 4th. We talked about it on a recent podcast with Larry Brown, the head of CSU Ag Business Operations here in the Sand. Larry Brown is just great, right?
Oh, I love Larry.
Yeah. He's working through, and I'm sure you've heard some of this, he's been working around mental behavioral health among farmers and ranchers here in the San Luis Valley. That's been a big conversation. Again, water causes all that stress. Farmers worry, can they make it another year? It's one of the higher demographics, farmers, ranchers, when it comes to concerns around suicide. And on November 4th, CSU Extension, Larry and other partners have organized an event to have conversations around mental behavior health for ag and farmers. And one of the phrases they use to kick off that conversation is, do you look after your neighbors as close as your crop or herd? And when Larry talked about that, I just thought that was just perfect in terms of this conversation that you, your neighbors, the ag industry here in Rio Grande County are having. That is, I think, a really powerful, and it's going to be a powerful event November 4th at Sky High Event Center here in Buena Vista.
I read about it this morning on Alamosa Citizen, and I put it on my calendar because I thought I want to go listen and see what they're saying as well. You know, the workforce is tough right now with potato harvest going on, and you'd mentioned my husband Mark is in the potato business as well. You know, they have gone more towards robots.
Yes.
Because there are people that don't want to work in a potato warehouse. And, you know, as I like to say, they get the potatoes in from the farm, they wash them, bag them, and send them out. And then that's what we're buying at the grocery store.
Yeah.
So we need these people.
Yeah.
They need, you know, to be able to work and be able to have, buy the things that they need to do.
Well, and that's another aspect of the thing that you have to wrestle with as city manager, and that's seeing automation of jobs in a county that you're working in. Mm-hmm. That is another development that, again, people are dealing with and stressing about, if you will, because they can't find the manpower and you have to go automation. And that's what we're seeing here. Really appreciate all the time you've given us today, Gigi. I want to ask you one more thing before we let you go. You grew up here. You went to high school in Buena Vista. You went away, had great success in the city as you came back. When you think ahead, and I don't want to hear about your retirement, really. Where is Buena Vista? When you think to your time growing up, you've seen the transitions. We've talked about the future, the opportunities. You're doing a great job in kickstarting and getting things moving, and this town is on the move. But how do you see things as you move forward and you think of these small towns that you're working in and trying to leave better than when you found it?
So when I graduated from college and then left, or I graduated from college, not from here. But when I graduated from high school and then my early working years here in Buena Vista, downtown was booming.
Yeah.
It was booming. And like other communities, I guess it was going to say it was the demise of Walmart being built 18 miles away.
Interesting, yeah.
Because people then, the dress stores then began to close. And the hardware, we had two hardware stores. Buena Vista, back at that time, we had Montgomery Ward's. We had Sears. We had J.C. Penney's. And now you just see these once anchors to count downtowns are gone. And so Buena Vista, we are rejuvenating ourselves with homegrown talent. We want to be able to have those young entrepreneurs to be able to see the opportunities that there are. And then we need our citizens to be able to support them. They need to be able to go and buy and, you know, support who is here. One of our very, very, very nice stores in Monta Vista, The Finery. Mm. You know, Debbie has worked so hard, and she has the same clothes that you can go to Pueblo, and yet you might have someone drive to Pueblo to buy the same pair of jeans that you could buy in her store. Mm. And what people need to remember is that they are taking away then from their own community. You know, if you're complaining about the potholes in the streets, which Monta Vista has horrible streets, but I'll never have enough sales tax base to fix them all. And so people have got to be able to figure out, okay, because I shop here at our Safeway or our Top Value, those sales tax are going to help my community be better, stronger, thrive longer.
Yeah, that's I think you're right about all that. And when you brought in the changes that you've seen through the big box stores and how those really damage small towns, I think you're accurate about that and really good perspective. As we've talked about in this episode, there's a lot happening in Monta Vista. There's a lot more happening, I should say, than was when before you came in, since you've been here. And we ticked off quite a few new stores, new things. We're here at the Church Project, the Community Arts Center for Monta Vista. So I would say that you've got things going forward. That's a good thing.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
It's really good to see you. Hey, you've been listening to the 200th episode of The Valley Pod. Our guest has been Monta Vista City Manager Gigi Dennis. The Valley Pod is produced by Owen Woods and is part of the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. We'll see you around the Valley.